Please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 27. Our series through Isaiah has worked out well for a couple of Advent sermons that are perfectly in line with where we are. Isaiah chapter 27, verses 1 through 5. In that day, the Lord with his hard and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent. And he will slay the dragon, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day, a pleasant vineyard, sing of it, I, the Lord, am its keeper. Every moment I water it, lest anyone punish it. I keep it night and day. I have no wrath. Would that I had thorns and briars to battle. I would march against them. I would burn them up together. Or let them lay hold of my protection. Let them make peace with me. Let them make peace with me. When Walt Disney was planning out Disneyland in the early 1950s, he decided that he wanted a big centerpiece of it to be something that reflected his hometown, Main Street, USA. And of course, it was an idealized picture of his hometown. Everything clean, everything shiny, everybody smiling, everybody friendly, everybody happy to just be American in 1901. And sometimes you can visit that, you can visit Disney, and you feel like you're part of that. And he wanted to bring you into a world of nostalgia that way, a world where reality couldn't touch you, a world was a sense fake, but you could forget for a little while that it was fake. Nostalgia is deceptive that way. All of us can think back to childhood or can think back to years gone by, and we can say, things were better back then. Things were easier back then. I just wish we could return to the way things were. But that's deceptive, because the truth of the matter is, things weren't all that different back then. Things weren't all that easier back then. No matter what point in life or what point in history you look, you can see that the curse was on humanity. And you could see that sin was rampant in the world. And there was never a golden era. There was never a great day. There was never a time where things were all happy, jolly, and nice, and everything was safe and happy and glorious. From the time of the fall, even till now, and until Christ comes, there's a curse on the earth. And nostalgia tells us that that wasn't always the truth. But nostalgia is fake. If you know history, then it frees you from deception that there was once a glory day, or there was once a time when things were better. Things were different, and things may not be the same way they were, but the elements of life remain the same. Christians in America have become very susceptible to some type of nostalgia. We say, Lord, turn us back to the way we were as a Christian nation. It can be argued that while in some ways we were culturally Christian, in other ways we were not. And yet we want to always look back. I think the gospel, I think the prophets, and I think the word of God points us forward, not backward. And I think here in this passage in chapter 27, when we see a familiar phrase that we've seen before, in that day, we're pointed forward. We're pointed to a day when God is going to come and redeem, when Christ is going to come and make things right. And when that day comes, then all will be as it should be. Not as if it was and it has to be corrected, but only when he comes. And here in these first five verses, there are three things I just want us to look at and meditate on for just a few minutes as we see that coming day of glory. First thing we understand is Christ's coming brings destruction of evil. You take all the evil in the world and all the evil of history and you personify it into some type of creature. And you might imagine some snarling, fire-breathing, ugly, horrible sea monster dragon, Leviathan. And in that image, which is an ancient image that is used often, You have God saying he will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, the twisting serpent, someone who personifies evil, someone who personifies the devil, someone who personifies the deceiver that snuck into the garden and tempted Adam and Eve. And you have Christ's coming, bringing a destruction of this evil. He will slay that dragon in that day. He's one from the sea. The darkness and unknown of the sea is always something in the scripture that often points to an evil, a blackness, a sin, because the depths of it are dark and unknown. And this monster dwells there in this image. But Christ is going to take care of that. Christ is going to slay that dragon. And let's remember that this is not a fantasy. We're not Don Quixote chasing windmills here. We're not imagining this, again, as some Disney cartoon. Oh, gee, wouldn't it be great if this were really so? This is reality. God says he's going to do this, and he will do it. And in that coming day, when he does it physically, we still can look forward to that. But we also know that he has slain that evil and that dragon spiritually even now. The cross took care of that. The cross forgave us of our sin. The cross bound the strong man. The cross enabled the gospel to be preached in all corners of the earth instead of a little tiny nation state in the Middle East. And so, as the resurrection testifies of Christ's victory over sin, death, and hell, so we know that he will come and put to death that evil serpent, that dragon, that wickedness. And as we live and breathe and function as a church, by God's blessing, by his power, then the church advances that cause even today. When you come into contact with something that is wicked, you speak against it. You stand up for the people who have no voice. You stand up for the people who do not have the ability and the power. You bring goodness, the goodness that you represent as a child of God, into a situation. And you advance the kingdom of God as part of his church. And you look forward to the coming physical annihilation of the dragon, the old twisted serpent. Christ's kingdom also brings in a security better than that of Eden. Verse 2, in that day a pleasant vineyard. Sing of it. I, the Lord, am its keeper. Every moment I water it, lest anyone punish it. I keep it night and day. When we think of the Garden of Eden, we think of an idyllic paradise, not touched by the corrupting power of sin until Adam fell. We think of a place where work was pleasant, where all was easy, and you could walk with God in the cool of the day. Well, there was a problem with Eden. The problem with Eden was that there was a covenant of works with Adam. And when he disobeyed, and when he sinned, and when he fell, then all of us, as in Adam, all die. And all the earth and all of us were corrupted by that sin. The problem was that Eden was a temporary atmosphere. It couldn't last because of that covenant of works with man. But a better Eden is coming, one that is beyond the historical Eden, one that rests in grace, one that rests in Christ, one that is by God's power. I, the Lord, am its keeper. Every moment I water it. Adam, under that covenant, he disobeyed, and so he died, and so he fell. Eden was not secure. But the coming glory, the coming kingdom, the coming fullness will be totally secure because it will rest totally on God and his power and his ability. And God will keep this new vineyard, and God will preserve his people, and God will enable us to praise him for the security that is found in Christ's substitution, Christ's imputed righteousness, and the grace poured out upon us. He keeps us, and he keeps it. And as we know that's coming, and as we're called again to bring the character and truth of that kingdom into our lives and into the people we know, we look forward to that vineyard. We look forward to that day. We look forward to that coming, even as we think of his first coming in this Advent season. And then in verse 4, we see God says, I have no wrath. Would that I had thorns and briars to battle. I would march against them. I would burn them up together. Well, let them lay hold of my protection. Let them make peace with me. What does he mean, he has no wrath? Because of Christ's finished work, he has no wrath upon those who trust in him. Amen. Because of Christ's completed work on the cross, we do not have to fear avenging God, but we look to a loving Father. And we look to a day totally in his control, totally in his power, totally in his grace, his truth, his peace, his justice. And we look to a day like that with excitement. Those who trust in him know only life eternal and safety and peace. This good news of salvation is held out to the whole world as the only way to find forgiveness. Is God merciful? Is God all forgiving? In Christ alone he is. For those who trust in him he is. And for those who believe on his name. And what great consolation that is. And he calls and he says, let them make peace with me. Let them make peace with me. Let them come. Let them hear. Let them understand. Let them know. Let them be born again. Let them be given life from on high. Let them be given the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Make peace with God. Have we? Do we know that peace? Do we rejoice in that peace? Do we trust in that peace? As non-believers, that's our only, if you're a non-believer, that's your only hope. If you are a believer, then make that peace your way, your truth, and your life. Settle what needs to be settled. Come to him, glorify him, rejoice in him. That coming day is an exciting one. Don't look behind you. Don't look back. Don't wish for the past to repeat itself. God redeems and Christ renews and brings in his way and his future. And let us all come and submit to that and worship him at his throne. Don't think the best is over. We have a future vineyard, a future new heaven, a future new earth. And let's work to carry out our Lord's plan and gospel. If you're in your church and you see something that you don't like or you see something that needs to be better, then maybe that's the Lord telling you to join and be part of something to make that better, to improve the vessel of God's kingdom that you've been given, that you've been made a part of. Let's work together. Let's unite together. Let's come together trusting in our God as our keeper every moment, watering, and be totally secure in our Savior and rejoice in that coming day of peace. Let's pray. Lord, we ask your continued blessing on our church, and we ask that you'd continue to make your coming day something exciting and something real. We pray that you would bless us, preserve us, protect us, and help us to not fall into the trap that is nostalgic backward vision, but to look forward to the coming day, living in light of your grace and glory until that comes, serving and bearing fruit by your power out of love for Christ. Bless us, keep us, preserve us, and help us in all this, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.